today, you know, every show has a theme, and today's theme is helping others to be their best. My next guest is somebody that I have waited a long time to interview. Each time I hear him speak, he causes me to think. He causes me to evaluate what I believe, and I'm not alone in that. He's been challenging and refining the thinking of some of the hardest cases in the world, MBA students. Most people think MBA students are only motivated by money and the drive for money. But my next guest challenges that and helps the MBA students and business people alike to be the best that they can be. Dr. Sreekumar Rao received his PhD in marketing from the Graduate School of Business at Columbia. He got his MBA from the Indian Institute of Management at Ahmedabad, and he got his undergraduate training in physics, of all things, at St. Stephen's College in Delhi University. Dr. Rao is regularly taught at the top business schools, including Columbia Business School, the London Business School, the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, and out here on our coast, the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. He conceived and pioneered the course Creativity and Personal Mastery. The course really combines business know-how with personal development philosophy. In fact, the course is so popular that students must bid for a seat. It's the only business school course that has its own alumni association, and it's been extensively covered in the media. Dr. Rao is the author of Are You Ready to Succeed? Unconventional Strategies for Achieving Personal Mastery in Business and Life, and his latest book, Happiness at Work, Be Resilient, Motivated, and Successful No Matter What, is just now hit the charts. Dr. Rao, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. This is Bill, and you're talking also to Freeman Michaels, who's joining me from the Freeman Michaels Show. He wanted to sit in and hear what you had to say as well.
Yeah, I was excited to hear that you were going to be on Billy's show. I think that this approach to business, this sort of humanistic approach, where you're looking at the larger context of what really motivates people and what really allows for success, the creativity piece is exciting. So I wanted to join the conversation.
Oh, my pleasure. Welcome.
Well, Dr. Rao, let's dig right into it, shall we? You were very successful in business on your own and also in teaching before you came up with the Creativity and Personal Mastery course. Tell us about your journey to what you now call the ideal life.
Okay, yes, I was pretty successful, but what I was doing was intellectually challenging, but it really didn't move me on any deep level. And quite a bit of the time, I really didn't like what I was doing. In fact, my view of the world was there are two sets of people, those who passionately hate their jobs and those who dislike their jobs. And I'm kind of moving between the two. It's not a very fun place to be in.
Yeah, the idea that work is work, that's no good.
Yes, I know. So when I came up with Creativity and Personal Mastery, that was really the very first time in my life that something made me come alive. I mean, this is something I wanted to do. It didn't feel like work at all. So that's how it all started.
All righty. Now, let me ask you, how do you define the ideal life?
What I define as the ideal life is when you get up in the morning, your blood is singing at the thought of being who you are and doing what you do. That as you go through the day, you come radiantly alive. You derive a very deep sense of meaning from what you do, both at work and outside. And, you know, life is a blast. You find that you have purpose, that this is something that you can readily share, and you sense it at a very deep gut level. If you're leading a life like that, then you are successful, and it has nothing to do with how much money you make, your material possessions, or any of the rest of the ways in which we conventionally define success.
Now, your Creativity and Personal Mastery course is truly a remarkable course. I mean, you have students who have to bid to get into the class. What was the inspiration behind developing that course for MBA students?
Actually, I developed it for myself. And at the time that I did it, it was not for MBA students. It was for myself, and I just offered it to MBA students because that's who I taught. My initial hypothesis was, I teach MBA students. We all know what motivates MBAs. Nobody's going to register for the course, but that was okay by me. Boy, did I find out I was mistaken. These are human predicaments I deal with, and there are a number of persons at our top business schools who are, in fact, wrestling with the same dilemmas that I was wrestling with, and they really related to that course. The rest is history.
Wow. Now, when you came up with the course idea, it was for yourself primarily, but you did offer it to students. Did you receive any pushback or resistance when you first pitched the idea of this class? And then if you did, what motivated you to move beyond the resistance to go ahead and teach it in the face of pessimism?
Actually, I did not receive any pushback initially. The pushback came later.
Really?
And yeah, and I never received any pushback from the students because they very, very readily understood the value of what it was that I was getting them to think about. Because our top business schools, Bill, do not address the really important issues of life. They don't even acknowledge it, much less address it. You know, things like who am I, what makes me happy, what are my values, how are my values expressed at work. Hugely important questions, but they are not even acknowledged, much less addressed.
And so your course really digs into that, doesn't it?
Completely.
And one of the things I think is interesting, again, this is Freeman, is the idea, of course, of what motivates people. Now, that actually is something that business schools can recognize. Clearly, you've tapped into a different level of motivation.
That is absolutely correct, yes.
So in that context, this is very appropriate because clearly, if money is the only motivator, we're seeing with the financial markets that that falls apart, that there has to be a deeper sense of value. And in fact, I'm watching the value of these brands, these you know, world-recognized brands, falling apart because they've lost sense of some fundamental, I think the word you might use is purpose or meaning, or I don't know, I don't want to put that in your mouth. But talk to that, because we're in a world right now that's in a bit of a crisis, but my sense is there's a tremendous opportunity to shift focus and maybe get back to some fundamentals or maybe move forward into a whole new paradigm.
That is absolutely true, and I'm discovering that more and more. In fact, I'm talking to several major corporations right now, and each of them is seriously considering putting several thousand executives through some version of my program. And the reason they are doing that is I've spoken at those companies, and they have seen the reception that I have been given at the hands of their executives. And it finally struck them, gee, this is a good thing, and we ought to push and do more of it.
No, I love it. I love it. Tell me, Dr. Rao, what do you hope to change or see change in the way we live and work by teaching these principles?
Let me share my vision with you. It's been my observation that in our large corporations, most of our large corporations, the environment is actually pretty toxic.
Really?
And my personal goal is to change it so that the environment in our larger companies is nourishing to the human spirit, and people don't get up in the morning and say, oh, God, it's Monday. I want them to get up in the morning and saying, boy, it's Monday.
All right. Well, what parts of our business environment are toxic, as you say? I love the choice of that word, by the way.
Thank you. Well, they are toxic because when you get up there, you feel that you are a cog in a giant wheel of no consequence, not appreciated, working at meaningless drudgery in the cause of something that you don't believe in. Too many of our companies measure themselves with financial metrics. You talk about maximizing shareholder value. You talk about meeting revenue and market share goals. Those are not things that inspire anybody.
Right.
And my basic belief is that a business has to stand for solving a social problem and really be committed to that. And profits are important, but they come as a byproduct. They're not something that you focus on explicitly.
Can I? This is Freeman again. I want to share a thought with you because this is something I've been mulling over. As I watch the world, and again, I speak of these sort of brands that have been devalued by their, I'm going to call it bad behavior, but even companies where the command and control structure and the whole way of the old bottom line, as it were, has sort of, in my sense, it's coming apart. And one of the factors I see is that because the world's become so interactive and you can very quickly comment on the internet about your service that you got at a particular provider or your experience in relating to a company and its employees, that the new bottom line, and this is Freeman talking, I'm not sure this is something you agree with, but I feel like the new bottom line is something like goodwill, that we need to get back to the idea that goodwill is the bottom line and building the kinds of relationships that are going to grow something. What's your thoughts on that?
That's exactly what we have to do. We don't have a choice about that.
So the paradigm of command and control, where fear rules the day, really is an old paradigm, and there has to be a new sort of way of of business being more grounded in principles such as what's for the better good? Or is that what we're talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
Most certainly. Nobody ever gets excited, you know, in the morning saying, oh, you know, I'm going to help some shareholder get wealthier.
But how do you
get excited about here is a social problem and, you know, I'm doing my bit towards helping solve that, provided everybody is truly committed to that. A lot of corporate social responsibility initiatives are PR window dressing.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're getting a positive response, but I still really wonder, honestly, how do you convince people, you know, that this is the new bottom line? I mean, how do you shift that mentality? I mean, I recognize that you've gotten some pushback from academia, which doesn't surprise me, because you really are threatening the status quo with this new mindset.
Yes, I am.
How do you convince folks that this is the way to go?
I don't convince folks in general. What I basically do is I have a series of exercises, and when I put folks through that, they discover that their life is better. That's one of the things that I'm pointing out. You know, what I'm doing is not some, you know, airy-fairy Pollyanna philosophy. What I'm saying is when you live your life so that you are part of a cause which is bigger than you are, not only are you achieving something that's good in the world, but you are improving your life.
I love it. We're talking to Dr. Shrikumar Rao, whose new book is Happiness at Work, Be Resilient, Motivated, and Successful No Matter What. And Dr. Rao, I want to ask you, many of the listeners hearing the sound of your voice right now, they're sitting at their desk at work. They might be even listening over the computer. Some of them are entrepreneurs, small business owners. What advice would you give them to instill more excitement, more creativity, more vibrance into their job and into their business?
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, I would like them to understand and accept that if they are not living life according to the vision I laid out, where they are thrilled each day, where they're truly excited and moved, where they have a deep sense of meaning in whatever it is they do and in life in general, if their life is not like that, then they are wasting their life.
That's very profound.
That
All
is.
Right. So how can they turn that around?
Beg your pardon?
How do they turn that around? I mean, if they're not living the life of their dream.
Accept the fact that my life is not like that, and if you accept that if my life is not like that, then I'm wasting my life, then you get around to, okay, you know, maybe I've wasted that. I personally have wasted decades of my life, so I'm right up there with everyone. So if you accept that, then you say, okay, what do I do to turn it around? And one of the things that I point out is that if you live in a me-centered universe, and in a me-centered universe, you kind of believe that Galileo got it wrong, and the Earth doesn't move around the sun, it really moves around you. And that's how we live our lives, because no matter what happens, we always turn it around to the perspective of what's the impact on me.
Good.
And I show them how to get out of that, and when you get out of that, yes, you're doing things which are helping the world in the way that you can see it, but more important, you're helping yourself, because all of a sudden you find that the colors are more vibrant and you're enjoying it more. And when people truly experience that, there's no stopping them.
Beautiful. We're talking to Dr. Shrikumar Rao, whose book is Happiness at Work. Love what you're saying, Doc. We've got to stop for a short break here to take care of some business. But when we come back, I want you to think about this while we're on the commercial break. Let's dig into the creativity part of your course, Creativity and Personal Mastery. Let's talk about creativity when we come back after these commercial breaks.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And today's theme for the show is helping people to achieve their very best. I'm joined in the studio by my friend and colleague, Freeman Michaels. And our special guest on the line is Dr. Shrikumar Rao, who is the author of the book, Happiness at Work, Be Resilient, Motivated, and Successful No Matter What. And Dr. Rao, before we went to commercial break, I asked you to think about, let's dig into the creativity part of your very successful program titled Creativity and Personal Mastery. What is it that you mean by creativity? Why is creativity so necessary now for a fulfilling life?
I feel that creativity is very necessary for a fulfilling life, because when you are creative, when you're thinking in ways that are different, but not by ways you've been conditioned, but by ways which come naturally to you, then you feel more alive. And you must understand that I think of creativity differently. I don't think of it as a set of techniques. My take on creativity is when you're so passionate about a cause, and that cause is bigger than you are, and it brings a greater good to a greater community, then creativity kind of springs up spontaneously. You don't have to try to be creative. You are creative.
Dr. Rao, it's Freeman again. Let me ask you this way. Is creative self-expression a human need?
That's an extremely good question, and I'm not sure that I can answer it either way. Let's simply say that in my experience, both personal and with those that I'm talking to, I find that when they are creative, they are much, much more fulfilled. And I believe that most people are inherently creative.
Right. And it needs to be expressed somehow.
Yes.
Right. Now, that makes sense.
All right. Now, Dr. Rao, I love your definition of creativity. I love that it spontaneously comes when you're totally engaged. What are some of the signs that we don't have enough creativity in our lives?
Well, I think the biggest sign of that is when we feel that we have hit a roadblock. You know, life is humdrum. There's nothing, quote-unquote, that I can do about it. I am a prisoner of circumstances. And oh me, poor me. If you're feeling along those lines, then it is a function of you haven't found what it is you're supposed to be doing, and you are stultified, not creative.
All right. Now, small business owners, entrepreneurs, people listening to the sound of your voice, how can they create a work environment that allows more creativity to flourish?
Well, the first thing that they have to do is recognize that this is something that they want to do. And this, by the way, that is not an easy thing to do. It does require a commitment. There are going to be many missteps. But the beauty of it is if they commit to that, they will find help coming to them from all kinds of sources, and especially from their own employees. And they have to commit to it, let people know that they have committed to it, and follow through.
And what we were talking about before, this is Freeman again, is that the potential for the bottom line, that in fact this orientation, this sort of different perspective coming at this from the way that you're speaking, will ultimately, change the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. I mean, not just change it, it'll blow it off. I mean, you'll achieve results you couldn't even have thought of. Because what happens all of a sudden is that employees are not working at a job. They are doing their life work.
Location.
And what they put into it is orders of magnitude more than anything you could even have conceived of.
I love it. We're talking to Dr. Srikumar Rao, everybody, author of the book Happiness at Work. I want to change gears just a little bit, if we can, Dr. Rao, and talk about labels, because that's a predominant theme in your first book, at least. Often we label things as either good or bad. How is that limiting not only to our creativity, but limiting to our overall joy in life?
Well, the moment you label something a bad thing, and whether we recognize it or not, that's something we do to everything. No matter what happens to us, big thing, small thing, we immediately label it in our heads as this is good or this is bad. The moment we label something bad, the odds increase exponentially that we will in fact experience it as bad, and therefore we will suffer as a result of that. Now, I'm inviting you to think of something.
Can you
think of anything that you maybe 10 years or more ago, and at that time you thought it was terrible, but now with the perspective of time and maybe wisdom, you can say, hey, that wasn't so bad after all.
Oh, absolutely.
Even it was good.
Absolutely. I mean, time does heal all wounds, and it changes your perspective on things.
And even more than that is I think that lots of things that were tragedies 10 years ago, I'm very grateful they occurred, because in fact I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today had not those things, occurred.
Exactly correct. So therefore, if that happened to you in the past, it is entirely possible something that happens today that you unthinkingly labeled bad could actually turn out to be good X years in the future.
That's a tough one, though. I mean, to be honest, that's a tough one to have when things feel as if they're going terribly wrong. But I appreciate it, and actually, I think you're right, because as I do look back, it's true that things that I thought were tragedies end up being, in a particular way, triumphs, because they led me to here. But how do you help people with that when they're actually going through it?
Because the first thing you have to do is explicitly get this in your head. Think about it. Because most of the time, we react the way we do because we haven't thought about it. But if you have thought about it and you immediately, something bad happens to you and you immediately say, hey, is there any possibility that this could actually be a good thing? And the moment you do that, you have taken the first step towards not labeling it a bad thing. And over time, you can train yourself so that you simply label things as they are. You don't label it judgmentally as bad.
I love it. So reflection.
And that by itself will make a profound change in your life, by the way.
And there's a whole bunch of creative potential and possibility in that perspective.
Absolutely. Yes, there is.
All right. Well, let me ask you to amplify that, Dr. Rao, if we could, just a minute. Because, talking about labels, right now the media is sort of labeling our current economic situation as bad. Do you disagree or agree with that? And if you disagree, how would we reframe it so that we could look at it more positively?
Okay. It certainly is bad in the sense that undoubtedly there has been an economic compression. There are a number of people who are jobless, and some of them are long-term jobless. So there is no question that there is pain and suffering going around.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have not gone down the tube, not yet anyway, and it has become very apparent to us that the notions on which we built our capitalist system are seriously flawed. So if there is financial regulation that does get put into place, which prevents these excesses from happening again, then to that extent it would have served a very useful purpose. Something like you have a fever, which is a tip-off to the doctor that there's something wrong, and you take medicine which will heal you before things get too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility something like that could happen? Absolutely. Are there other ways in which it could? Certainly. Right now, for example, there might be some young genius who's looking at all this and saying, no, this is not what life should be like, and I've come up with a better system for dealing with it. There might be economists who are saying we've got to come up with different models of how we gear the financial structure of our companies. So all kinds of things could be happening.
I love it. I love the optimism that you have in that.
And also, one of the things that comes up is often we find, just like me thinking back to 10 years ago, often there's sort of a breakdown before we get to the breakthrough.
Yes.
That the status quo has to kind of come apart a little bit for us to recognize that there's an opportunity to maybe do it differently.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Yes.
Good. We're talking to Dr. Shukumar Rao, everybody. He's the author of the book, Happiness at Work, Be Resilient, Motivated, and Successful No Matter What. And, Doc, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your latest book. Why did you write Happiness at Work now, and how's it different from your previous works?
I wrote it now because, actually, I've been writing it for a while. It just happened to be published right now.
Okay.
And I discovered that a number of persons really got a great deal from Are You Ready to Succeed?
Mm.
But I wanted to get the same points across to people who were too busy to read the rather long explanations in Are You Ready to Succeed? So Happiness at Work has shorter chapters, has more exercises, and I can tell you that if someone gets the book and does the exercises, his or her life will change.
Well, give us an example of some of those exercises, just a short one if you can in the few minutes that we've got left, because I love the way you help us to shift our perspective.
Okay, take the good thing and bad thing thing that we talked about earlier. One of the exercises is to avoid labeling anything that happens to you as a bad thing. Can I share a personal example with you?
Yes, please.
Okay, I had a contract which was abruptly canceled on me. And I was really pissed off about it, and I think it lasted somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes before I got on with life.
Wow.
But as a result of that contract being canceled, I happened to be in New York in October, which I would not have been otherwise, and I delivered a keynote presentation at a conference, and there was somebody I met at that conference who became good friends with me. And he invited me to his conference over in Copenhagen. This is my good friend Alexander Kirol.
Oh.
And he recorded my speech at his presentation, and that was picked up by TED. So now I'm a TED speaker, and that particular talk has been viewed several hundred thousand times, and major companies have called me up as a result of that, and all kinds of good things happen and it would not have happened if that contract had not been canceled.
And let me just shout that out for my listeners. If you haven't gone on to TED.com and seen some of the interesting and informative videos that are there, I encourage you to do that. Freeman, you had a slide?
Well, it's the old anecdote that when one door closes, another one opens. But that really, I think, what we're speaking about is a kind of mentality or perspective in the world that you're advocating and that you're teaching.
That's exactly correct, yes.
Because most of us don't have that. I mean, I think we slip into victimhood very easily, that we want to pine about it. I love the fact that you said it took me about 5 minutes to get over. I think that's an indication, because from the very beginning you said this was a personal thing. This wasn't something where you decided I'm going to write this class and it's going to be something I put out there. You said this was something you personally constructed for yourself to be able to increase your level of fulfillment personally in your life. So I love the idea that you're practicing it and that in 5 minutes you can be over a contract coming apart, because I'd like to be there.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's something you have to work on, though. It doesn't, because it goes so counterintuitive to the way in which we have been conditioned. So you really have to work to make this your new conditioning.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. I understand 100%. You have to practice this new way of thinking.
Dr. Rao, we've only got about 1 minute left, and I have to ask you, what did you get out of writing Happiness at Work?
What I got out of it is the feeling that there are a lot of people who are interested in the work that I do, who could be benefited by that, and here for the first time is a way by which they can get it, even if they can't attend any of my programs in person. I have received literally dozens of messages from persons all over the world saying how much it helps them. That's its own reward.
I have no doubt about that. Every time I hear you speak, the hairs stand up on my arms, because I love what you have to say. Your latest book is titled Happiness at Work. We've been talking to Dr. Shrikumar Rao. Thank you so much for being our guest on Brainstorming. I really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
My pleasure. And do tell your readers that they can go to my website, www.areyoureadytosucceed.com, for more information.
That's areyoureadytosucceed.com, and you can get information there. Thank you, Dr. Rao, so much.
My pleasure. You have a great day, Bill.
And you do the same. Take care. Wow. Freeman, what do you think about that? Huh?
I think he's got a big new fan in me. I love the fact that this is happening in business, because I think that really changes this idea of a paradigm change, where business is starting to recognize that there's a different bottom line, and that people's fulfillment's really important, and people aren't objects. They aren't things to just be moved around, and that it's not about the money bottom line, that there's a greater purpose, which I think will, as he said, improve the bottom line.
Well said, well said. Freeman, that brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everyone.